I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. A week ago, any concession by Egypt's ruling military council might have been welcomed by celebrations on Tahrir Square. Today, there were concessions, but they were not enough to pacify thousands of angry protesters in Cairo. Egypt's military leader, Field Marshal Hussein Tantawi, spoke to the nation earlier. He agreed to speed up plans for a presidential election, now to be held before July of next year. And Tantawi said he was willing to consider a referendum on the immediate transfer of power from the military to a civilian authority. The World's Matthew Bell is in Cairo, right on the edge of Tahrir Square. How have the protesters in the square reacted to the concessions from Tantawi, Matthew?
Marco, I don't think they're taking it very well, really. This is a group of people that the numbers there have been building for the past several days. There have been incredibly violent scenes with hundreds of protesters injured, several dozen killed at least. They don't seem to be in the mood to accept what Tantawi has given them. Now, it does seem that the Supreme Council has made some concessions in talking about this referendum especially. That seems like a pretty savvy political move on their part. But again, I think the mood there is that the momentum is with the demonstrators. The activists are talking about comparing this to when Mubarak came out and gave a speech, and then another speech or two later, and he was gone. So I think there's a feeling among a lot of people in the street right now that Tantawi's days are numbered, and maybe the Supreme Council's days are numbered as well.
Now, Field Marshal Tantawi and the military council have been in power since President Hosni Mubarak was forced out in February. How significant is the fact, Matthew, that they waited until these massive protests to cede some ground to their critics? I mean, isn't that exactly what Mubarak did?
Yeah, and it's not the first time that the Supreme Council seems to have shot itself in the foot. Remember, Marco, that this particular round of demonstrations started on Friday. It was a big, regular Friday weekly protest. It was very big. That sent a message to the Supreme Council. But then on Saturday, there were only about 150, 200 people in the square. They were set upon in a brutal way that really angered a lot of Egyptians. This probably could have been avoided.
Now, as you said earlier, Tantawi also confirmed presidential elections in Egypt for next July, but parliamentary elections had been scheduled for next week. Did Tantawi say anything about those elections?
He did. He promised that the elections next week will go ahead, and that is indeed a concern that many Egyptians have. Many of the political parties, even as they have watched these demonstrations build here in Cairo and a couple of other cities, they've said that it's the military's job to make sure the elections go forward. You know, Marco, you drive around Cairo, there are election signs everywhere. There are all kinds of signs that just people are getting ready for this event and that this is a way forward.
It's dark right now in Cairo, Matthew. How many people remain in Tahrir Square? What are they doing? And any indication that security forces may move into the square again?
Well, that's hard to say. The clashes have been sort of isolated on certain streets off to the side of the square for several days now. The numbers are huge. I just walked through the square earlier this evening, and you could just see people still pouring into the square, bringing in supplies. You can hear the sirens from ambulances. People are still being injured. Today really was sort of the pinnacle of this latest moment. This is a big deal.
The World's Matthew Bell in Cairo. Now, Matthew, during the original protests in Tahrir Square, so much was made of the fact that the army and the demonstrators were standing shoulder to shoulder. That's obviously changed drastically. You, Matthew, have been speaking about what happened with people in Cairo. Let's hear your report.
Standing next to a mosque inside Tahrir Square and speaking with a bandaged neck, protester Ahmed Ibrahim Said says Egyptian security forces have been using deadly force against demonstrators.
There are eight bodies in the mosque on the edge of the square, killed when the army and police cleared the square. They used live ammunition, and some of the people were shot in the head.
Another group of people that's been targeted by the ruling military, although in a different way, are Egyptian human rights and civil society organizations. Gasser Abdel Razik shows me a video on his iPhone. His son, a toddler, is waving an Egyptian flag at a recent demonstration.
A revolutionary in the making.
Abdel Razik is with an organization called the Egyptian Initiative for Personal Rights. The group is one of several that's been attacked in the state media for being agents of the West, taking foreign funds illegally and trying to undermine the state.
It's not quite treason, but the allegations are serious. Human rights leaders have already had their personal bank accounts scrutinized. Abdel Razak says what's expected next is that human rights leaders will be put on trial.
The Supreme Council of the Armed Forces has assumed the role of the president, the parliament, and the executive branch. So we really don't need to be spending a lot of time analyzing why they're doing it if we know that this is exactly, these are Mubarak's men, and they think the same way Mubarak used to think, and they act the same way Mubarak used to act.
The campaign against human rights groups is just one example of what critics say is a long list of catastrophic blunders committed by Egypt's generals.
We are nearing the point of total collapse of trust in the military and the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces to handle this transition. And I think politically that's where we've come.
Isander Al-Amrani is a Cairo-based writer who runs an influential blog called The Arabist.
In 9 months of transition, actually there's been zero attempt at reform. Zero attempt at reform of the police, zero attempt at reform of the state media. We've seen the military engage in the same kind of human rights abuses that the police previously engaged in. The use of military tribunals against over 12,000 individuals, the imprisonment of several activists and prominent personalities without being charged on dubious grounds. So no wonder Egyptians feel that things haven't changed and in fact may have gotten worse.
But things could still get much worse, says Hisham Qasim.
You know, some people think this is as bad as it can get now. There are such things as state failure. And if things continue along this line, we will see that.
Qasim is a publisher, and he was a longtime opposition figure during Mubarak's time. These days, he's busy trying to get a new independent news organization up and running. He says he's no cheerleader for the generals on the Supreme Council. They've bungled everything from human rights to the economy, he says. But despite those mistakes, Qasim says the military is still the only political actor that can run the show in Egypt, not the fractious and ever-squabbling political parties, and not the demonstrators in Tahrir Square, he says.
95% of the people in Egypt are sick and tired of demonstrations. There is no other option. The people who are talking about military handing power are hallucinating, okay? And if that election is not held in a few days, Egypt is going to become like a spaceship that has no more fuel, and it's going to drift into space, and we don't know where it's going. There's only one way out.
Qasim says the only way out is the elections process scheduled to begin next week. For The World, I'm Matthew Bell in Cairo.